Blog Talk Radio.
The words we speak translate into feelings that express belief systems at the conscious and subconscious level. And what we speak is what we attract towards us.
We really aren't using our minds for the most positive results in our life.
Do you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make about
that today? Well, it's type of tie-in with what the lady was just saying, as far as the way children are raised and the environment that they live in.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm in a recovery program now, and it teaches us that we have a philosophy here that we are all vulnerable potential and we are not victims of circumstance. And I believe that everybody has the will to change. You can't blame the way you were raised for things you do in life. You have to be able to decide right from wrong at one point in time.
You are listening to In the Spirit on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Shirley, also known as Tafway. Tafway means to appreciate God and to glorify God. Let's glorify God today on this episode of In the Spirit.
Thank you so much for tuning into the show today. I am your host, Tafway, and my co-host, Sandra Buton, is on the line, and her husband, Dr. William Buton, will also be co-hosting the show with us today. Sandra, how are you doing today?
Hello, Shirley. I am blessed and highly favored and happy to be on this show.
Indeed. I am in awe and most grateful to have on the show today Mr. John Randolph Price, who is the author of a multitude of books, and one of which we will be discussing on the show today, The Angels Within Us. And a little bit of background information on Mr. Price. He and his wife, Jan, are co-founders of the Quartus Foundation, a research and communications organization that was formed in 1981. The Prices were the originators of World Healing Day, which is a global mind link for peace involving millions of people, and that began on December 31st, 1986. And the Los Angeles Times reported that up to 400 million people participated in that event. And the event continues on the same day and time each year. The Prices have also devoted more than 30 years to researching the philosophic mysteries and integrating those teachings with spiritual metaphysics. They conduct a number of workshops yearly on raising consciousness, facing change creatively, the secret of success, healing relationships, health and wholeness, and the abundance principle. And their objective is to empower people to live freely, fully, and richly with love, harmony, and peace as their keynote themes. They also founded the Quartus Foundation, and I thought this was interesting. The word Quartus denotes the four square aspect of each individual, and those aspects being spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical. Their foundation is a research and communication organization with the stated purpose of probing the mysteries of ageless wisdom and integrating those perpetual truths with spiritual metaphysics. And by combining the dynamics of mind with the unlimited potential of universal laws, the ancient principle of energy follows thought has been confirmed. And with this understanding as a key, a door opens to a new philosophy of life that is both practical and rewarding.
Well, that definitely, from what I have read, is just, I'm like you, I am awestruck. I'm speechless. I am just waiting to hear this beautiful voice that has created this phenomenon that I call magic.
Right.
And my husband is also indeed welcomed to join with us today and have this phenomenon just spread through our bodies and enhance us even more.
Right, and we appreciate that, but we're getting some feedback in the background. Maybe you have your computer turned up or something.
Oh, just a moment.
Feedback on the line.
I think we're too close together.
Yeah, this promises to be a spiritual feast for those interested
turn
in
on the other way.
The power and purpose of the 22 angels that govern your life. So get a pen and paper ready to take notes as you learn how you can pinpoint
and hold
trade, and discover what
next.
Now, how is that? Oh, no, I still hear a little feedback.
Okay, well, we have Mr. Price on the line as well. So what a powerful way to start the show off for the new year. And I must admit, today I feel like a student sitting at the feet of the master teacher eager to devour whatever nuggets of wisdom he releases so that I too can learn how to invoke the power of the angels in my life. Mr. Price, thank you for honoring us with your presence today on In the Spirit. How are you doing?
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you. I've been looking forward to it all week.
We have as well.
You got going too.
And we'd also like to take a moment to congratulate you and your wife for being selected as the recipients of the Torchbearer Award. And that award is given to honor those who champion the principles and cause of new thought in our culture. So congratulations to you on winning that award.
Well, thank you. It was a surprise when they called and told us that we had won the award, and we flew to Chicago and had a marvelous time up there.
Excellent, and congratulations again. Now, I also have a caller on the line from the 919-760-5588.
Hello, this is Reverend William Burton, Sandra's husband, William Vuitton.
Well, thank you for joining us, and we look forward to your valuable input as well.
Thank you. This is a pleasure.
Sandra, do you want to go ahead and...
Yes, Mr. Price. Is it all right that I call you Mr. Price?
Oh, just call me John. That's fine.
John, what a noble name. My father's name was John. Well, I have to say that your book has enhanced my life immensely. Out of all the books that I have ever read, and I've read quite a few, this book is the only book that I have put at the list, at the top of the list of the books that I call my Harry Potter collection.
Goodness gracious.
Yes, because it's like magic. Every time I read this book, I am just moved to another level of evolution. And I thank you so much. I feel like you wrote this book especially for me.
Well, it was a fascinating experience to write it and to get in touch, make contact with these angels and let them write the book. So it was a fascinating experience.
Yes, indeed. I enjoy speaking with them because when my friend suggested this book to me, he said, the angels speak to you. I said, really? I had to sit down for a moment because I thought, now this is truly phenomenal. This is out of this world for me. And as I got to get into reading them, they started to speak to me. And I thought, oh, my God, I felt like I was just a super being myself, actually.
Good, good. So they were discovered about 5,000 to 9,000 years ago.
Really?
And the masters of those mystery schools begin to teach the energy of these angels. And it has become a very important part of the ancient wisdom studies in many groups around the world.
My.
And I don't know if you've heard how I got involved in this. It was in the early 1980s, and my wife Jan had just gone to sleep and turned her light out, and I was finishing a book, a novel of some kind, and all of a sudden a being of light walked into our bedroom.
Oh, my, no, I did not hear that.
It was about 9 feet tall because it kind of ducked to get in the bedroom, and I leaned back up against the headboard and screamed, I'm not ready yet. Now, I don't know why that came out like that, but it was just, I was just paralyzed. It just scared the pants off of me. And as it walked over to the bed, looked down, and I was just frozen. And I repeated it again. I am not ready, because I thought it was the angel of death.
Indeed.
You know? And it turned around and walked out. And Jen woke up. She said, "What was that all about?" And I said, "Well, you won't believe this, but something just walked into our bedroom," and I described it. And she said, "You're shaking all over." And I said, "I'm cold. I'm frozen." So she got blankets and put on me, and I finally warmed up. And the next morning, we began to meditate and then do research to find out what was this, what caused it, what brought it about. And that's where the angels within us came about, because as I began to do the research, through major universities, through my own introspection and meditation, and with the new thought ideas that kept coming to me, it began to flesh out, so to speak, so that these angels began to come alive. And then through, as I said, research, through many, many of the ancient wisdom texts, I began to understand who they were and what they were for. And that's how it all began.
Well, do you think that could have been an angel to of death of an old way of thinking and to rebirth you into a whole new realm of the activities and the purpose of the angels in our lives today?
Yes. It has been an exciting adventure. And of course, as all of us who have been working with the angels, we began to understand that they're a part of our law, the spiritual law of our lives. And they play back to us, you know, what we are to them. And we tell people, you know, if you're having financial difficulties, there is an angel that will help you. If you are having, no matter what it is, whether it's ill health, broken relationships, or whatever the problem seems to be, you have the solution through these causal powers, through these energies that reside within that auric field. And it gives us a sense of confidence. It takes nothing away from our that magnificent holy self, that presence of God within us, because these angels are really offshoots or expressions of that one presence and power within us. So when we put it all together, it all comes together.
And the Bible is so full of references about angels.
Oh, yes. I didn't realize. Until I began to research the Bible. I'm not a Bible scholar. I've read it several times, and I guess I'm one of those people that picks and chooses that which resonates with me. If it says anything about damnation or anything about you're in trouble, boy, you better shape up, I jump to the next passage or the next page. I believe in only in a very loving God, and that everything has already been provided. It's just up to us to find the code, to find the answers.
Yes, because in your book you say that Christians have always believed in incorporeal beings such as angels. However, it's been my experience for the most part in this century particularly that it seems that Christians acknowledge them as spiritual beings that existed mostly in dreamlike states. And to me, they don't really acknowledge the reality and significance of angels, again, given all the references to them in the Bible. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think it's because we have so many different interpretations, so many different perceptions, because you take three people and give them passages from any book and ask for their opinion and their understanding of it, and you're going to get three different perspectives. You're going to get three different answers. We have experimented with this with people in groups and in small groups and large. And it's amazing how we can, and it's based on our backgrounds and the way that we were introduced to religion or to new thought or whatever we want to call this process of enlightenment. And it's all fed back to us through our consciousness. And it's an amazing exercise to do this. And it made me feel, or made me understand, that I can be talking to a group of people who are 100 people, and I'm going to have 100 people out there hearing me in different ways. And this is why I will kind of jump around sometimes, because you feel the energy that's coming forth from the people, and the angels will say, "You should emphasize such and such." And I'll switch back and talk about another aspect of their divinity, of their manifestation. And it's an amazing process.
It is indeed. And we have another caller on the line from the 313 area code. Caller, will you tell us your name and where you're calling from, please?
Yes, my name is Amin Hamed. I'm from Detroit. How you doing, Sandra?
Hello, Amin. How are you? Thank you for joining us.
Brother John, how you doing today?
Well, is it who I think it is?
I don't know. It might be.
Do you know him, John?
No,
well,
I haven't met him, but I took one of your books, Planetary Commission, and I've trained about 200 young people. And
wonderful.
And they're doing great, you know. So I took the book, I broke it down for them so they understand it more for young people. I had them study for 10 years. Class, I did it from 1993 to 2003, and I had over 500 young people to learn and go out and teach that book.
Oh, my goodness.
And when I met my wife, she had the angels, Quint Angels, and I had Planetary Commission.
Oh, my goodness.
So I got real in touch with the angels. It was unbelievable, but we had a beautiful life. We changed our understanding about spirituality. You understand what I mean?
Yes, I certainly do, and they will really help us to grow spiritually.
Absolutely. When Sandra first described the book to me, that she described it as magical, and I love books anyway, and I know the significance of certain books, and especially it's the same when a student is ready to teach a world peer, but the same thing applies with books. Like, I can go into any bookstore and don't know what I'm looking for, but when I say Spirit, guide me to whatever book that I need, the Spirit will guide me appropriately. Now, I might not need that book at that particular moment, but somewhere in time, in the very near future, that book will be revealed to me, and I'll pick it up and read it, and it'll feed whatever spiritual need there is. And when she told me about this book, I respected what she was saying about it being magical. And I must admit, it truly is just that. Every single chapter that I've read in this book has had a separate spiritual journey and revealed some metaphysical element to me that's been absolutely phenomenal. And I've only been reading it since September of last year. And I
you're just now getting started.
So I guess I'm a newbie in this thing, literally, anyway. But it has just been...
John, I have a couple of... This is William. Brother Armin, how are you?
Oh, my brother. Oh, I'm happy to hear your voice.
John, I have a particular appreciation for you. At 5 or 6 years old, I was born in 1944. At 5 or 6 years old, I was groomed to be a Pentecostal minister. And I preached in tent services around the South. And became, you know, a little well known. But I started asking questions that I couldn't get answers for. And all of your books have served me, including, I know you didn't write The Course in Miracles, but your books and A Course in Miracles served me very well in intending to get from that limited perspective to where I think I'm going. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you very much for that, because I had to really fight the, I won't call it brainwashing, because I think the people meant well.
Right.
But I had to fight those limited opinions and attitudes that I had been taught from childhood in order to embrace super beings and the angels within, etc. And so your work was a bridge to freedom for me.
Thank you so much.
And I have a question, John. Would you tell us about the time that you, I believe, broke your pelvis or your hip when you rolled down the hill? Would you tell us a little bit about that and the angel that provided you all that wonderful service?
Oh, I tell you, we were at a friend's house up in the hills, and I didn't know their deck didn't go all the way around the upper, the second floor. So I went out to get some fresh air. And it was it was about 10 or 11 o'clock at night, very dark, no moon, and all of a sudden I stepped off two stories. And
wow.
And began to float. And I won't say what I said as I was falling, but I hit the rocks below and rolled down about, oh, I would say 20, 30 yards into a boulder that stopped my stopped me from rolling into the water, the lake. And I didn't, it was very, very cold. It was a December night, and I knew I could yell all night and no one would hear me. And so I walked. Well, first I did a little prayer meditation and began to try to stand up, and then walked up the, or crawled up the hill and to the house and knocked on the door. And the our host, the woman that was on the home, opened the door, and she says, "What have you done?" I said, "I think I've hurt myself." And so they brought a chair over, and I couldn't sit down. I could only stand. And so Jan and the woman and myself, we began to do some, I would call it just some good old-fashioned prayer and affirming these statements. And after a few minutes, I said, "Well, the voice just told me that we better call EMS because I can't walk." And the ambulance came and took me to a small town's hospital and put me in a room. They took all the x-rays and so forth. And during the, put me in a bed and said the orthopedic surgeon would be there the next morning. Well, I began to get in tune with that presence within me, and I heard the words that I've got to stop trying to send energy and healing into the body, that the body has already healed, but that I had to do it in my consciousness. I had to heal my mind. And so I spent, I would say, 2 hours, 1-2 hours, focusing on the consciousness, on mind and on feelings, sending the energy and the love and the light into that. And the next morning, the orthopedic surgeon came, and I said, I'm going home. And he said, "You can't. You have a broken hip and a broken pelvis." And I said, "I can't stay here. I have to go home. That's the only way I can completely heal the body." And he said, "All right, I'm going to bring a crutch over and give you crutches. And if you can walk up and down two flights of stairs, you can go home." So I did. Walked up and down two flights of stairs, and it was, I wanted to cry, but I was faking a laugh, and I was saying, "See, I can do it, I can do it." And Jan went out to get the car, and as she picked me up and we got in the car, I started bawling like a baby. She says, "What's the matter?" And I said, "I've never hurt like this in my life."
Oh, my God.
That was December the 7th, and on December 31st, we went to a New Year's Eve party and danced.
Oh, my.
And, when I went back after the first of the year, they could find absolutely no sign of the break. It had been totally healed, and we were amazed as anyone else was. And I know that I had holy helpers on this, because all through this, I would be given instructions to walk backwards, to run backwards, and to do different things. And then I would sit in meditation and let those healing energies just permeate the body. And over a period of time, I realized what was happening. I had no control over this. I wasn't doing anything. I was simply being a vessel and an open channel through which these energies were coming forth. And later, much later, when I wrote the book, Angels Within Us, I understood that I had tapped into those causal powers, and that they were doing so much work on my behalf without me not even knowing what they were doing. So it was a wonderful adventure, and I'm glad it happened. I know that's hard to say, but I am, because it opened up so many avenues in me.
You said something that's key there, that you are an open channel. How important is that for someone to be open and receptive to the to tuning in to these angels?
Well, if you're operating out of ego, out of this, the illusion part of our consciousness that says, you know, that you can't do this, or there is scarcity, or there you are deprived, or there is this, and so forth, then you are not an open channel, and you're going to be working strictly out of those lower energies. And that's what you're doing then, is projecting those onto the angels, projecting them onto the law of the universe, and you're going to get back what you have impressed. And so Jan and I, in our workshops, we talk, we must become an open channel for that divine self, for that holy self and for the 22 angels that are working as a part of the Holy Spirit's manifestation or expression. Because if we're not open, if you know, we even use the word surrender, because remember, if you wave a white flag, what happens? There's no longer any warfare going on within the system. And so we surrender. We say, I am an open channel. I completely give up to Spirit and become that channel for the expression of Spirit in the phenomenal world. And we, Jan and I, do this all the time. It's a let go, let God, and be a part of that divine strategy of the universe.
Absolutely. I'd like to get some clarification on, because you said working as part of the Holy Spirit when we're an open channel. So to me, that's two spiritual manifestations in operation at the same time, because you have the Holy Spirit of God, and then you have the angels as well. So are they two separate entities, or are they all working for the same?
The 22 angels are literally expressions of that Holy Spirit.
Okay.
That's that divine mother, the feminine aspect of our being. The 22 came forth. First came forth the angel of unconditional love and freedom. And, you know, this was in the dim recesses of the ancient past. And when we didn't fully awaken to that divine identity that we are, then that energy of love, that also power of love, sent forth the other angels to literally wake us up, to show us who we are, because, you know, we are divine beings. We are not human beings at all. In my book, Spiritual Philosophy for the New World, I have a 60-day non-human program, how to break the ego of the human aspect, because we are manifestations of God. We are divine expression, and we are holy individuals. And we've got to break through the crust that says that we are limited, that says that we are a sinner, that says that we can't do anything at all. And this is the problem of what we call the race consciousness or the collective consciousness that believes in the limitation, believes in sickness, believes in poverty. There is no scarcity anywhere. There is no lack or there is no limitation. We have made all of this up. And when we can unmake it in consciousness, then we can step out on the stage of life and live the way we're supposed to live, with the cooperation and the assistance of these 22 archetypes.
Right. And so when the Bible talks about that God has to go away and Jesus had to go and he was going to send a comforter, the comforter we interpret in Christianity as being the Holy Spirit, but that could very well be the comfort of these 22 angels.
Oh, yes, yes. I like your insight here. That's good.
John, I have a question. Many people approach me, since I'm still considered a minister, although I don't belong to a specific church, and they ask with my newfound information, where do I congregate? And quite frankly, it hasn't happened. I haven't been able to find a comfortable place to meet with people who have like-minded kinds of information, who are reaching forward and reaching into themselves to find that kingdom within. Does your organization direct people to certain groups who have a like-mindedness where they can congregate and have discussions and things like that?
We tell people, we have members. Quartus has a membership. It is a membership organization, and we have members all over the world. And when people ask us to recommend a church, we suggest a new thought type of church in their community, and for them to seek out the Spirit's help, the appropriate facility, the appropriate teaching for them at this time in their lives. It doesn't mean that they're going to be there forever, but it's where they can get the enlightenment, the truth, so to speak, at this point. And in our workshops, we use many different facilities. Here in Bernie, where we're located, Bernie, Texas, we use the Tapatia Springs Resort Hotel. And with their conference facilities, it's just magnificent. when we travel, we many times we will go to churches, the Unity churches, the religious science churches, divine science. Not too long ago, an association of chiropractors called and asked us to come speak to them. This was in upstate New York. So, you know, you can get your food, your spiritual food, wherever you are, if you're seeking it in the right way. And I'm sure that, you know, you will find exactly what you need or what you're looking for.
Well, as I started to grow, I found that religious science of mine and Unity churches were the only people who would let me speak anymore. So that kind of rings true with what you're saying.
Okay, good.
I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge a couple of people who have just joined us in the chat room. Dion Suss 614, Dominica Armour, and Dream Master 1. Thank you so much for joining us on In the Spirit today. And if you have a question or a comment for our guest, John Randolph Price, as we discuss his book, Angels Within Us, please feel free to type them and or call into the show at the guest line. And the call-in number is 646-716-5180.
Yes, and I'd like to take the time to welcome them as well. And also, I wanted to ask John, what was the name again of that book you just mentioned?
Oh, A Spiritual Philosophy for the New World.
Is that a new book?
Oh, no, it came out in the... Let me look in here. I've got it on my shelf here. I'll see what the date is. Copyright 1990.
Oh,
revised edition 1997. It's a Hay House book.
Wonderful.
Published by Hay House.
Thank you. I will go and check that out as well.
Mr. Price, can you talk a little bit about and explain ego projection and what exactly that is?
Ego projections?
Yes.
If I say that I can't afford something, that is an ego projection. If I say I'm not feeling well, that I may be catching a cold, that is an ego projection because that is not the truth. It is an imagined activity in consciousness that must be dispelled, must be put away as quickly as possible. The angels are very, very much like cosmic law, and they will play back to us what we play to them. If I profess a belief in, let's say, a broken relationship, first thing I've got to do is forgive myself and stop projecting the idea that relationships can be strained or broken upon the angel within. We have to be very, very careful, and this doesn't happen overnight. Jan and I have been working with this for years and years, and we have to watch what we think. We have to watch what we say, because that spoken word causes a vibration in our auric field that directly affects the angel of the spoken word. And the same thing with the angel of abundance. If we are feeling a sense of scarcity, lack, or limitation, we are projecting on that angel of abundance the whole idea of lack, limitation, shortage, and scarcity. That's an ego projection because it's not the truth. There is never, ever, ever a lack of money in this world. We are the ones that project on that angel of abundance the idea that there is lack. There is no lack. There is no limitation. But I've experienced lack and limitation because I have projected on that angel of abundance what I felt, and it was, I guess we would call it a fearful thought, that there wasn't enough funds to do something that I felt would be important for the Quartz Foundation. And we would have to go back and restart again and pull back any projections that we had made on those angels that was not truth. And as I said, it's not something that you do once and forget about it. It's an ongoing process.
Absolutely. And change typically is an ongoing process. You said a couple of key things there, though, also, that it's important to forgive yourself, because I believe if we hold on to unforgiveness, whether it's for ourselves or for other people, that too may very well hinder the angels from operating in our lives as well.
Oh, yes. You know, forgiveness and love are two of the most important characteristics of all of everyone's lives. And Jan and I make a practice of, if we get up in the morning, is there, we do what we call a radar scan in consciousness. Is there anyone out there that we feel any kind of judgment, any kind of criticism, any kind of resentment toward? And then we forgive ourselves, because we're sending out an energy that's a misqualified energy. And if anyone has, we feel that has pushed our button, we send forgiveness, because I don't want to live a life that's restricted in any way. And the same thing with love. One time we did, Jan, well, let me back up just a second. We were having, when we first formed Cordis, some financial situations that weren't very pleasant. And I affirmed, we meditated, we did all the stuff, and nothing happened. There was still a sense of limitation. I went to bed one night, and I had a dream, and an old man came to me and tapped me on the shoulder and said, John, if you would only love more, every limitation in your life would vanish. Well, I woke up. I woke Jan up, and I said, honey, we got to start loving. She said, what are you talking about? And I said, well, I was just told that I didn't love enough. I didn't love enough, and that this was causing some lack and limitation. Well, she said, let's have a 7-day program of pure love. We got up that morning, we began to love everything. We loved the bed, we loved the floor, the ceiling, the refrigerator, the everything, the car. We cooked our breakfast, we loved the breakfast. For 7 days, we concentrated on nothing but love, loving everything. And our lives changed so dramatically. More money came in than we thought was possible, and things began to happen that shaped the course of the events for our lives beginning then. That was in early 1980s.
Wow. Do you think forgiveness could be considered judgment or being superior to someone?
Repeat the question. I didn't quite hear you.
I'm trying to reiterate a comment that someone made in a chat room, that they don't believe in forgiveness. It requires judgment and superiority.
They don't believe in what?
In forgiveness.
They don't believe in forgiveness. Is that what you said?
They do not believe in forgiveness. They believe that it requires judgment and superiority.
Hmm. Well, unforgiveness, if you look in the dictionary about forgiveness and what unforgiveness is, it is a lack of resentment. Forgiveness is resenting. I mean, unforgiveness is resenting somebody. And I don't want to have any resentment in my consciousness. And if superiority, listen, if we're going to be the spiritual adepts, if we're going to live the spiritual life and all the goodness that goes with us, we can't have any condemnation, any kind of criticism, any kind of resentment toward anyone. And the first individual that we have to forgive, as I said, is ourselves. Because the ego can go a little bit nuts. It can do a little crazy dance and think it's the boss, and it's not. And so we forgive the ego thoughts. We forgive the ego craziness and let it settle back down into the nothingness from which it came. This doesn't have anything to do with personality, because when the personality and the spiritual essence of our being, our true self, are blended, then we have a spiritual personality, someone who loves life and begins to share that love with everyone.
Absolutely. Because love begets love.
Yes.
Yes.
Love begets love.
And I had an experience, John, it startled me. I was watching television one night, and the program is not familiar to me at the moment, but there was a scene in the movie that the girl uncovered her legs, and there were all these spiders on her legs. I remember cringing at the fact that that happened, but I think she was in a dream state, or it was an illusion that popped up from nowhere. And I cringed when I saw it. And no more than 20 minutes later, I was lying on my bed, and a little spider came on my leg. I said, now, I know I created that, but I would not like to have a pink elephant in the middle of my living room. So I wanted to know, am I to study harder, meditate more, so that I will not create what I don't desire? Because it shocked me that it happened so suddenly.
Well, I think it was a good lesson, because sometimes the law of attraction can work in mysterious ways. And if we have a fixation on something, yes, the energy can go out and pull back in the object of that which we had been focusing on. And I think it was a harmless thing for you, but I think that wasn't the point. The point was that it happened. It was an experience. And I think if I was looking at it from the standpoint of I'm writing a book, as though I was writing a book, I would say, be very careful what you focus on and what you concentrate on, because you may be attracting that into your life. And I would probably be thinking about focusing on scarcity or focusing on the side effects of medicine, all of that. But see, yours was a very simple, beautiful, harmless situation, and it may have taught you something for the rest of your life.
It did. It really did. I was startled, but I was amazed that I had done that. And I've seen my other creations, but, you know, I give praise, well, not praise, but I'm grateful that I have recognized that my higher self is doing these things. But that was so sudden, and I'm not a fan of spiders. However, it taught me a lesson.
Oh, yes, yes. We love our lessons, if, you know, if we can appreciate them and have a sense of humor with them, because our spirit, that holy self, has a wonderful, wonderful sense of humor. And I know people say, now, wait a minute. You're talking about an aspect of God. Does God have a sense of humor? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And it appears in dreams. Dan and I dream a lot. And have some of the most wonderful dreams. We all have our wonderful dreams.
You talk about the purpose of the 22 angels, their missions, and what an individual does to inhibit them from operating effectively. And one of the things that I've gleaned from this book...
I mentioned this earlier. I don't like the word the fall, because it symbolizes something that really didn't happen. We, as spiritual beings in the very beginning of existence, in the beginning, as the Bible would say, we ventured into the physical world for the experience of it, but we were still totally spiritual. In other words, our consciousness was totally spiritual. It had not taken on the ego machinations. It had not taken on the fear. It had not taken on what we now call the negative aspects of life. It was a perfect, wonderful life. And as we began to experiment more and get further and further into the dense physical plane, we began to lose parts of that spiritual consciousness, levels of it, until the light was almost out. We were moving into darkness relating to how we thought, how we felt, how we spoke. It was a situation that Spirit saw, God saw, and sent forth that angel of unconditional love and freedom to bring us home, so to speak. Not to move us out of the physical aspects of life, but to show us the divine aspects, to wake us up so that we could go move back into our spiritual consciousness. Well, many people, many individuals caught that light and began to move back into that spiritual essence of our beginning, but many, many didn't. And the angel of love and unconditional love and freedom sent forth more of these archetypes, these causal powers, these energies, and to wake us up. And that's where it all came from. That was the beginning of the 22 angels. Because if you look at 22, Pythagoras said 22 is the magic number. It is the number of fulfillment. It is the number that brings us back to life. And so 22 is a very important number. And now that for thousands of years, the masters have been teaching the whole idea of going back to the beginning and literally starting over again in consciousness, moving past the human aspect of life and cementing, so to speak, our foundation in that spiritual life. And this is one reason that, you know, after the angels within us and the sequel to it, Angel Energy, came out, Jan and I were doing workshops all over the country stressing the importance of working with these angels and having exercises where the people would literally meet the angels and exchange gifts and get advice and counseling. And the letters, the feedback that we got from all over the country and abroad was that the people had begun to use, I don't like that word, let me back up, not use the angels, but begin to work with the angels for a more fulfilling life. And we're still getting letters. The angels are still doing their work, and I think in the next, oh, let's say the next 10 years, this world is going to see a transformation that's going to shock a lot of people, because the angels are working. There are many people on this planet today who have moved into those higher frequencies of consciousness and are sharing their love and their light and their understanding with others, and it's changing the world. Regardless of what we're seeing, regardless of the headlines in the paper and what we're seeing on television, the world is changing.
Absolutely. And I'd like to talk a little bit more about working with the angels, but first I need to say this because I'm getting some comments in the chat room that they're hearing feedback on their end. So I'm thinking, Sandra, maybe coming from you and your husband being maybe in the same room in close proximity.
I don't believe that it is, because I can hear an echo from John.
Okay.
Right. What I'll do is I'll change rooms and we'll see.
Yes.
Okay. So how would one go about working specifically with the angels to make the changes necessary?
It's something that we don't say, okay, tonight or today I'm going to go to meet the angel of success, the angel of abundance, and I'm going to get my answers. It's a process of developing the relationship between the conscious mind and that angel energy, that causal power within. And we have to, as I bring out in one of the books, we have to use our imagination at first. That's the imaging quality of consciousness, to image as we're beginning to visualize the angel within our auric field. What does he or she, masculine or feminine, what does it look like? And as we begin to imagine, then the angel begins to shine its essence into our consciousness to give us a glimpse of its appearance. And it will change its appearance as we change our consciousness. And angels love to talk. I didn't know this when we began at first to work with them, but they love to speak. And you have had experiences where you've heard the angels. Everyone who works with the angels will have that experience. And it takes practice, visualization, and understanding, and working with them. It becomes a fun experience, a very dedicated experience of opening our consciousness to their wisdom and their understanding, and it becomes a way of life.
I find it simply phenomenal.
Working with one angel at a time, or as a specific need arise, you call on that specific angel?
Well, Jan and I prefer to work with one angel at a time, but we have found that working with the angel of patience and acceptance, for example, another angel will be called in. Working with the angel of success, he may call in the angel of abundance or the angel of loving relationships. So we leave it to the angel that we, the primary angel that we're working with, to bring in any other angel that would be in a supportive role for that particular contact.
Mm-hmm. So the angels know what you need, and whatever that need is, they'll bring the subsequent angel to assist.
Yeah.
And
they
I'm so sorry. Go right ahead, John.
No, I was just saying that don't forget they have the divine intelligence of the Holy Spirit, because they are aspects of the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing that they cannot do. There's nothing that they don't know. And sometimes I would play with them. This was several years ago. And try to test them. And I found that was a no-no. You don't test the angels. They test you to see where you are in consciousness.
I have a question.
Let me ask you this, though, about Edgar Cayce.
Okay.
A phenomenal human being with some phenomenal spiritual intelligence. Do you believe that he was tapped into that source?
Oh, yes. We have done a number of workshops at the ARE, and several of the spiritual disciplined people there have seen Edgar on the stage with us. And yes, we have read many of his documents, his books, and we feel that he tapped into that universal presence and has benefited mankind to a great extent based on his interpretation of what he has received. And I use an example from me. I was in a dream, and you may have heard about this. In the dream, I was typing on my computer and asking for access to cosmic consciousness. And on the screen, it said, access denied. And at the bottom, in red letters, it said, see Jesus for the code. Well, I woke up, and I didn't know what in the name of God that was all about. And began to meditate and so forth. And I began to hear the voice of Jesus giving me over time 25 lessons, and I put it in a book called The Jesus Code. But I point out in the introduction, it was so much was based on my interpretation of the voice, the lessons I was receiving. Therefore, I could never say that each lesson had the purity of that Christ message. It came through, and I began to interpret it according to my own understanding. So I looked back at some of the Casey material, and I thought that may have happened there. It didn't take anything away from his interpretation of spirit, but it made me feel a little better that if I didn't get the exact words, you know, every time, I didn't fall too far off the stage. So. If I hope I answered your question.
Yes, you did. Sanjay, did you have a comment that you wanted to make?
Yes, I wanted to ask if you had seen the angel of patience and acceptance.
Well, I'd have to go back. Yes, I've seen all the angels, but I'd have to go back into my journals to find out what that angel looked like.
The reason I asked is because she seemingly is one of the predominant voices that I hear, along with the angel of enlightenment, Diana.
Oh, yeah.
Imagination and enlightenment.
Uh-huh.
Oh, imagination and, is it liberation? Yes.
Liberation, uh-huh.
Yes. Those are the two predominant angels that frequent me more often.
Yes, because whatever we are, and I don't want to use the word need, but whatever we choose in a deeper level of consciousness to experience in life, the idea of that particular angel will come into our mind. For example, I mentioned patience and acceptance because we were going through a period of time about trying to decide what to do. Cordis was about to move to another location, and we were in a hurry to get all the answers and so forth. And I heard in meditation, be patient. And I thought, uh-oh. So I went to the angel of patience and acceptance and began to get information, and that sort of settled me down and made me understand that this change that was upon us was a very positive change. It was going to be good for all. So, yes, to answer your question.
Thank you. Well, I remember when I first started reading the book back in September, it was a phenomenal experience that I had, and when I called Sandra about it, she enlightened me that it was an encounter with Isis welcoming me into the kingdom. And I was with my foster kid at the time and picking her up from school. And once we got onto the school grounds, I saw a double rainbow. But it wasn't just a double rainbow. It was the most vividest, clearest rainbow I have ever seen in my life. And it looked like I can just reach out and touch it.
How did you interpret that?
I'm sorry. Well, I couldn't, other than crying. I just got so filled with joy. And when I called Sandra, she indicated, do you remember that incident, Sandra?
Oh, yeah. I said Iris.
Iris.
Iris. That's patience and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I remember it clearly. Yes, she was just overwhelmed that the rainbows are so beautiful. And I had told her that when Iris seems to have something to say to me, I will see a projection of the rainbow color somewhere in my house, wherever I'm doing something. It seems as though it will pop up out of no place. The sun will come through the window at a different angle that I've never seen the rainbow colors before, and there they'll be.
Sounds wonderful.
Thank you.
Caller on the 313 area code, do you have a comment or a question that you'd like to contribute?
I had two questions.
Okay.
And a statement. Well, one question was, can you send the angels to someone to help them?
Well, this is a part of blessing. As you bless someone, what you're doing is releasing the spiritual energy within you, which includes the energy of these archetypes, these angels, speedingly along to bless the individual. You know, we have a prayer circle every morning, and the names of people have been coming to us by letter, by email, by phone call, and we bring them into our circle and begin to send them light, send them love, and that's a part of that angel energy, because they know exactly what to do, where to go, how to do it. And so to answer your question, yes, by all means, you can send that love, that light, that energy of these angels, and it never fails. It's up to the individual in the receiving mode to receive. If they're blocked and cannot receive the givingness of others, then it may take a little while to break through that crust to open those doors, but it never fails.
Thank you. Now, I'd like to say a statement. I have been working with the angels for about 5 years now, and I've had so many beautiful experiences with these angels, especially Iris. You always bring rainbows.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I really thank you for what you have shared with us that Great Spirit has given you, and I'm using it my best, and I'm so happy that I had the opportunity to speak to you. And Sandra,
thank you.
Appreciate you for allowing me to make.
You're welcome.
And on that note, we're going to take a short break, Mr. Price, to give you a chance to refresh yourself, maybe get some liquid beverages or something. And we're going to take a commercial break and be back in about 3 minutes. Okay.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is William D. Burton. Some people call me Reverend William D. Burton. I have encountered a company that has paid out to people working from home approximately $600,000 in the last 8 weeks. Let me repeat that so that you understand that I am not making a mistake in my statements. $600,000 in the last 8 weeks to people working from home. Now let me backtrack and tell you a little about who I am. I'm a marketeer. I love marketing things over the internet. But as you have probably discovered on your own, 90% to 95% of the stuff that is about you making money over the internet turns out to be garbage. Well, I have a former police chief who does the background checking for me, etc. I am now in a company that police chief recommended to me. I am now in a company that a judge recommended to a friend of mine, which has a price point of $27 startup to begin your home-based business. Now I'm going to give you the website. The website is www.2, that's the number 2, plus, that's the word plus, P-L-U-S, spelled out, 7, that's the number 7, .com, with the / ARK, A-R-K, and the number 1. I will say that again. That's www.2plus7.com / ARK 1. Now, we have a program that's selling a benefit package that costs $27, and when you market the benefit package to others, the company will pay you 50% commission. Now, I repeat, that 50% commission has paid out over $600,000 in the last 8 weeks. Now, when I first entered into the conference call of 2 plus 7, there were 800 people on the call, and I later found out there were 60 countries represented on the call. So please be sure and contact us at area code 919-954-1915 after you have seen our fabulous website. That's 919-954-1915. Thank you again. My name is Reverend William D. Burton.
Okay, so that was a commercial from one of the sponsors of the show today, and it looks like we may have lost our guest. Oh, no.
We lost our guest?
I think so, yeah. Oh, gosh, hopefully he'll call back in.
Oh, my. It is such a blessing to have him on the show today.
Absolutely. Well, we've got 29 minutes left to the show.
He may call back in. Perhaps he will ring us back in.
Yeah, I'm hoping. And I didn't get the number.
I heard a click. Did he?
No, he hasn't popped back in yet. Hopefully he'll call
back. Did he lose anyone else?
Yeah, the 313 caller just hung up as well. That's probably the click that you heard.
Oh, right. Once you said you lost him, he was gone. Yes, he may have had another student today.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
How did that happen? Did it kick off? Does that normally?
I don't know if he hung up or what during the commercial.
Well, we will intend that he rings back in.
He will definitely ring back in.
Yes, but it's marvelous. But yes, the rainbows are just phenomenal. I see them all the time, the rainbow colors. In fact, they're flashing at me right now.
Iris is saying hi.
Yes, patience and acceptance. Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that I love about the book, Angels of Zenith, is the way that he has it organized. You know, because you have to read it. You can't skip through the book. You have to read it in the order that it is written. And one of the things that I really love also, and especially going through the appendix and reading the things that hinder the angels from operating in our lives, the ego projections that we have that block them from working effectively in our lives, it really make you have to do an honest and sometimes a painful assessment of your life thus far to get to the understanding of why certain incidents, people, et cetera, keep popping up in your life, or why you can't get past a certain point, and that your life seems to keep going in circles around the same issues.
Yes.
Yeah, that really helped clear up some things.
Indeed, and we are working around, like he was saying, you know, we want to heal our bodies and thinking that, and I have done it as well, sent energy to that part of my body instead of making my mind straight and realizing that there really is no pain in my body. It's just I'm creating this out of my consciousness. So I have a little ritual. I won't call it a ritual. I would say maybe it's like a little prayer that I usually do. I say, I am the power and presence of God, and I am creating everything that I am experiencing, and it is not real. It is completely made up, and I created it in my consciousness. And then the steps after that say, I reclaim my power from this consciousness. And it just goes on like that. And I say that at least, I don't know, 20 times a day, so that I can infuse the thought in my mind that, like he was saying, we are not human beings. We are beings of light. And your mind is already settled on the fact that you have flesh, and they said we were human, so we're human.
And we act accordingly.
That's right.
Yeah, that is just so phenomenal. I was just impressed with so much that he said, especially with working with the angels. And it is a change in consciousness. You have to be open-minded, you know, to receive what they have to offer and the things that they want to do in your life.
Yes, yes, indeed. And I will notice, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but some of them will repeat a question to you or a statement. Have you come in contact with that yet?
Not yet, no. No, not yet.
Oh, well, they will do that because, you know, When you hear a sound, when you hear them speaking in your mind, sometimes you'll say, is that the angel speaking to me? Because, you know, if you're not used to it, that will come up. And you just listen, and you don't say anything, and they will be asking you a question, and you don't answer. So they will ask you as many times as they need to for you to answer and respond.
And that really helped me when he clarified the fact that, yeah, they do work with the Holy Spirit. So that kind of gave me some peace about, okay, you're not going crazy here. You know, yeah, you have the Holy Spirit speaking, the God is inside of you, but then you also are, it's okay to talk to these angels and have them talking back to you and then listen to them, because they're all working, you know, synchronistically to bring you or bring me to the spiritual level that I need to be at.
That's correct. That is correct. And I love it. I tell you, it is magic indeed. I went back this morning to the introduction that he had written about his introduction to Iris.
Mm-hmm.
Not Iris, Isis,
mm-hmm.
which is the creative wisdom. And I thought, oh my. And one of the statements said that the opposite of illusion was intuition. Isn't that profound?
That is profound.
One would think the opposite of illusion was reality. But it was not. I said, that is true, because illusion doesn't exist.
One of the things I wanted to talk a little more about was the vibrations, feeling the vibrations.
Oh.
Yeah. So when you get in touch with the angels, you feel their presence. So
sometimes I do. Other times it's just I hear them and I know it's them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm just, you know, I can feel the vibrations around me, and I will ask, who is it? And then they will say who it is, or they won't, you know, sometimes they're silent. They won't tell you who they are. I said, well, I'll just be quiet and I'll just listen, because they may not want to tell you. It's not important sometimes who it is. It's just you need to listen and pay attention to what they're saying.
Because even though they're not identifying themselves, they may be showing you some area in your life that needs some attention to some degree or another.
Yes, indeed, indeed. And where are you now? Which one are you at?
Well, actually, I finished the book.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Remember when I had that episode, I called you early in the morning?
Oh, yeah.
When I finished the last chapter on the Angel of Success.
Oh,
which
right.
just kind of summed everything up for me. It just put everything into perspective for me.
Right. My. Now, do you intend to go back and read?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I'm going to go through it with a fine-tooth comb and specifically concentrate on the areas in, I think that's how I want to do it this time, concentrate on the areas in the appendix.
Oh, really?
That talk about what we miscreate and what we do to block, you know, certain energies from manifesting in our lives.
Right,
you know,
right.
Ego projections and things. And we didn't get a chance to touch on that with him on the phone, and I really was hoping that we would be able to go through that, the chart of the different angels.
Oh.
And what their purposes are and the energies that block them from operating properly in our lives.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm thinking that he was thinking that was an hour show.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
And then when the commercial came on, he just...
Yes.
Yeah.
He thought that was the end of the show, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, that might be the end of the show for us.
Well, I think that an hour was the best time because, you know, he does have many things, and the guides and angels have him working on many other things as well.
Absolutely. And we kind of expected that anyway, but we didn't get a chance to formally say goodbye to our guest.
No.
So,
well, will you please email him?
I will, almost definitely. And we're sending out the energy of love to Mr. John Randolph Price, and do thank him.
Yes.
Very, very much for being a guest on the show, and we most certainly appreciate his participation on the show today and the insight that he shared with us.
Indeed, and as well the other guests that joined us on the show as well. And my wonderful husband, I'd like to thank you for joining us on the show.
Indeed.
And Armin.
Off the line also.
Yes, yes, yes. He did. But it was just phenomenal, I mean. The energy, it was very relaxing to me.
It was. It was a very calm spirit over the show today.
Yeah.
The chat room got a little wild, so I had to close that out because I couldn't keep up with the conversation. It was going in too many different directions.
Oh, my. How many were back there?
We had quite a few.
Really?
Quite a few. Yeah. And I really couldn't control it with the one hand and trying to
keep
the conversation
going.
Oh, that's correct. Yeah. But one of the things that I wanted to do before we close out is to play one of the songs by DJ? Yeah, which I think is appropriate for the show today. And this one is entitled Divineness.
All right.
Yeah, so we're going to hear a little bit of that. And do you have any, and we're going to let that close the show out. But before I play it, if you have anything that you'd like to, any last words or comments that you'd like to share, I'd like to give you the opportunity to do that now.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I would just like to leave the listeners with the fact that nothing real can be threatened and nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. Go out and have a wonderful life and put your faith in yourself as well as God and forgive yourself for all miscreations. Enjoy.
Forgiveness is indeed an important element to growth. Thank you so much, my sister.
Thank you. My husband says thank you as well.
Okay, and I'll look forward to talking with you soon.
Very well.
yeah.